This episode of the Golf Podcast is sponsored once again by our friends over at 3UP Golf. If you haven't had a chance to check them out, I strongly encourage it. It's a golf ball that I started playing. Like I said on the last episode, I started playing this golf ball about two seasons ago, never looked back. The feel that you get from it, the distance, is nothing sacrificed. It's just an amazing golf ball. And they've actually come out with a new model this previous year too, for a two-piece. So they've got a two-piece, a three-piece, lots of options. And the best part about them is it's a small company with great customer support. I mean, just talk to them one time and you'll see exactly what I mean. Rob, the owner over there, he's been on the show before. Great guy. Most of the time, honestly, when you talk to them or you call customer support, you're going to get him. And everything they do, soup to nuts, is excellent. They've even got it where every dozen golf balls you buy, they donate $3 to a golf charity. So you really can't beat that. Also, just a little extra added bonus they're going to throw in there. If you use the coupon code GOLFPODCAST, one word at checkout, they're going to give you free shipping. All right. And that's available for anywhere in the continental US. So show these guys some love, give them a shot. Like I said, they're not only they sponsors, we're big fans. We use their golf balls on a regular basis, and, give them one try and you'll see, and you'll really like them. And stick around for the end of the show because we've actually got a couple more to give away. We're going to give away some free samples so you can give them a quick try before you buy them. And we'll tell you in a moment how you can win those. So stick around. We'll talk about that more in a minute. All right, now on to the show.
Welcome to the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
Hey, welcome to the 65th episode of the Golf Podcast. We've actually got a special treat this time around, Mike. We're live on Periscope.
Okay.
Yeah, so anybody who's new to it, check us out at Golficity on Periscope. This is the first time we're live on there, so we're going to be broadcasting. If you're seeing us on Periscope for the first time, you can catch our episodes on iTunes and on YouTube, Stitcher, anywhere you listen to podcasts. So definitely check that out. And what's cool about Periscope, too, is if you're following us on there, if you have some questions, every once in a while, we'll try to take a few questions that come on up. So, okay, Mike, we got a great topic today. You and I have complained so many times about how cold it is. Well, I guess it struck a chord. It's finally warming up here, but I guess it struck a chord with some people because everybody was asking us about ways that they could play through the winter. And what we did was we did a bunch of research and found some ways that you can build a home golf simulator. And actually, we kind of like narrowed it down as much as we could, and we got it to where you can do it for under $1,500. So we're going to talk about that. And that way, if you got the space and you got the room, you can kind of build your dream golf simulator at home. And that way you can keep swinging throughout the winter. Mike, have you gotten back out on the course yet? It's finally starting to warm up around here.
Not yet, which is surprising for me because the courses are open around here. I'm driving by, seeing people playing. It's making me very jealous. But I think Friday's the day. I think I'm hitting a local club with a coworker of mine. So I'm going to start the season off soon. Tough track, but you know, you talk about these home simulators. I think I spent that much alone in the simulators this year. It was tough because the simulators, I mean, I always have a bone to pick, Frank, about the simulators. I blamed my start last season on the winter simulator the year before.
Yeah.
But everything seems to be working indoors. So if I can kind of take that out on the course, I may actually think about finding a place to build one of these if I could do it for cheap.
That's the key. And that's why you and I love the simulator so much, because you don't get rusty over the winter. I mean, it's nothing's going to be like playing on the course. There's nothing going to be like that. But at least getting in there and playing, we've talked about in previous episodes of the podcast, we talked about the benefits of it. There are some benefits that you're going to get that you won't get on the course, because some of the higher end simulators will show you things like aspects about your swing, aspects about your ball flight that you might not have gotten otherwise. So that's something that's going to be really key and is going to be important. But like you said, it all comes down to cost. Mike, even where you and I have the luxury of having golf simulators close to us, they're still expensive. I mean, we were starting to pay upwards of, I don't know, $50 an hour to play at some of these places. Winter was so bad here, we were worrying about getting tee time. So that was a struggle. Whereas here, I mean, there are some people too who don't have one in the area. So this is where that's going to be a good topic, and we're gonna jump into that in a second. In the meantime, Mike, what was your take on the Masters?
I thought it was actually really enjoyable. I mean, you know, I love the fact that we actually nailed the winner in our fantasy picks, had Spieth as a pick, Frank. And yep. That makes 2 years in a row because we had Bubba last year. But I've been rooting for this kid for like 4 weeks now because he's been so hot. And, you know, I just thought it was great that he won. And I love that he's on the talk show circuit now, which is cool. It's good for him. But he's got to come back and play this week. So imagine going through all that and then coming back for a tournament in 4 days.
I know. I saw him on Instagram doing his selfies on top of the Empire State Building. And then he's got to get ready to go again. But I tell you what, Spieth winning is, I think, one of the best things going for golf. I mean, to see a young guy go out there and just play as well as he did. You know, it was great to see, I'm not going to lie, it was great to see Tiger playing well again, too, without a doubt. I'm sure the PGA Tour loved that. But great. I think you're seeing your next big superstar there because it's not just like it's lightning in a bottle, so to speak. He's been winning consistently the last couple of weeks. So that was great. And yeah, the fantasy golf is really starting to heat up. So if you don't play fantasy golf, definitely give it a try. I mean, a lot of people, I think, played for the first time with that DraftKings big $1 million payout. And I can't believe one guy won that whole thing. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's an awesome payday. You know, I mean, I checked out his roster and, you know, the picks that he had, they were like Charlie Hoffman and Spieth and all the guys up there in the top five, Mickelson. So he had a stellar lineup and he deserved it. You know, he nailed it. You got to nail it.
Can you imagine that he won almost as much as Spieth and sitting on his couch? That's what you got to do. It was, that was something else, but that's always fun. You know, if you haven't gotten into fantasy golf or if you are, you know, playing regularly, definitely check it out on Golficity. We've got a whole segment where, you know, just a little fun side thing we do to keep our minds occupied when we're not out on the golf course. And we publish the picks and we do a whole sleeper segment on Tuesday. So it's a lot of fun. We got a lot of people talking about it. It's just another way to kind of talk and engage about there's different statistics. We talk about greens and regulations, fairways hit, you know, putting statistics, and you can learn a lot from it in your own game too. So it's definitely an interesting thing. But Mike, let's jump right in and start to talk about this because we also want to get to later on. We have our new segment with the lightning round, and I'm going to put you in the hot seat. So I want to get right into this first.
Nice. Great.
So, okay. So when we talk about building a home golf simulator, there's a couple things that you're going to need. Let's just talk about the basics. You're going to need the brains of the system, which we're going to talk about which one we suggest. That's going to be whatever's powering it. You need the actual simulator, so to speak. You need a projector. You don't actually require one, but if you really want it to have that simulator feel, you're going to need one. And I'll talk about why you don't need one in a second. A golf mat, you know, something so that you're not hitting off the floor in your basement or wherever you are. Some sort of net to catch the ball or a screen. And the most important thing, space. If you don't have the space, this is not going to work. So we had a couple of people reach out to us over the winter, and they were saying that they came across some space and they wanted to be able to do this. I think that's what's really going to be the key. A lot of guys will do this in the garage. If you've got an open garage, if you've got a warehouse, if you've got a barn or I don't know, a huge shed that you have access to, somewhere you're going to be able to obviously have the room to swing a club. So most simulators, you're going to want to be somewhere around 10 feet wide, 15 feet long, 10 feet high. So that's around about the space of a normal garage. Now a basement, you know, you're looking more like 7 feet or something like that. It's probably not going to work. What we're going to mention in a second, the brains that we suggest is the OptiShot, and they actually recommend at least 8.5 feet. That you're going to want for swing clearance, because otherwise you're going to be hitting things. And the OptiShot is great, and we'll get into that in a second, but the OptiShot is great because you actually don't even need to swing and hit a ball. You can just kind of swing and it'll pick it up. It'll register. So if you're really confined with space, there are ways to do it, but you're going to want to make sure that you have some sort of room that enough to swing a club. And when you think about a driver, you're really going to need some room. So the best thing going is if you have an empty garage bay, that's going to be pretty much ideal. If not, maybe you have high enough ceiling somewhere in your house. And you can have a temporary setup. So you don't have to worry about your wife killing you because you've taken over the living room for your golf simulator. So there's ways you can do that and kind of put it up and put it down. But otherwise, I've seen guys make like really cool framed out simulators. We had published, I'm going to link to this article in the show notes, and you can get to that by going to golficity.com/episode65. But we had linked to a YouTube video where a guy actually had a big garage space and he framed the whole thing out with wood. And it really looked like the simulators that, you know, we see, like those PGA Tour simulators, Mike, they go for what? $75,000 a bay.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Right. So, I mean, to be able to do that for under 2,000 is pretty significant. So that's what you're going to want to do. Make sure that you've got some sort of space, some area where you can use, where you can swing a club freely. The next thing is, like I said, you're going to need some sort of system brains. I mean, otherwise you're really just, you're just hitting a golf ball like you're hitting at a range. I mean, you have to have something that actually acts as the simulator. Now, if you do enough research into these, you're going to see they run the gamut. I mean, they can go as expensive as you can imagine. Like you talked about, the PGA Tour ones, they've got all types of sensors that are picking the ball up in the air, picking up all the rotation. It's very accurate, which is incredibly cool. If you get a chance to use one, try it. But there's also, there's fees that involve with the licensing of the golf courses. Mike, I thought it was really interesting. The place we were talking to, they said they couldn't do Augusta because Augusta doesn't give the licensing fees even just to map the course.
Yeah, that's correct. But you know what? They're on Tiger Woods Golf, which, right?
I think that name opens some doors.
Yeah, I think so too, which is probably the only place I'll ever play Augusta.
Right. Right. Actually, right. Speaking of which, our sponsor, Rob, was there. He emailed us. He said it was like he died and went to golf heaven.
I bet. I mean, I love that course on TV. The fairways look like living room carpets. It's unbelievable.
It really, I was watching it and I'm thinking there is not an ounce of that course that isn't picture perfect. It's so photogenic. Yeah. Like everywhere you look, it's just amazing. That's definitely my top bucket list course. But anyway, sure. Getting back to what we were saying, the cool thing about the OptiShot is it's got built-in sensors, okay, that are going to pick up. There's 16 sensors built right into this little mat that goes on the floor. And that's what's going to pick up your club head speed, your angle, your swing path, all those types of things. And what it's going to do is it's going to calculate from that how the effect of the shot. Now, we've got on there a review. I'll post that in the show notes as well, that one of our contributors did, extensive review of the OptiShot and the performance of it. And he even says it's not perfect, but it's pretty darn good. It's pretty darn close. And for $500, I mean, it's as good as it's going to get for that. I mean, it's worth well more than that. But there are ways that you can tune it to your golf swing. You can calibrate it and you can get it even more accurate, but it is pretty darn accurate. And that's why, because it has that, you can swing without a golf ball. If you're in a really confined area where you can't have a golf ball flying around, you can play that way and it will actually register. Some people use a little foam golf ball. Some people use a real golf ball. Personally, I prefer to hit a real ball whenever I can because that feedback you get from it. But you don't have to. Now, the way the OptiShot works is it comes preloaded with a whole bunch of golf courses. That's the other great part about it. It's got TPC Scottsdale in there. It's got Torrey Pines, both of which we've played in the simulators, both of which are a lot of fun. And you can play with your own clubs. You tell it which club you're hitting. It registers, whatever. Now, I will say there's one thing that's not included in this overall price of the build that we're talking about, and that's that the OptiShot does require a computer to run it. Okay, so you need a laptop, desktop, something. It works with just about any computer. I mean, it has the system specs on their website, but it doesn't need much. I mean, it's just, if you had a basic computer, you're going to be fine. It's got a USB cable that connects, and that's it. Now, the reason I said earlier you don't necessarily need a projector, which we're going to talk about in a second, is because the other thing the OptiShot can do is it can connect to any TV or computer screen. So theoretically, you could just put the OptiShot down, plug it into your computer, you know, and run it through your TV or just leave it in your laptop and boom, you've got a simulator for $500. The only thing with that is it's not going to give you that full simulator feel that we're talking about. So it's a fun thing. You know, it's a way that you can really have one inexpensively, but if you want to make it feel like the real simulators that we get when we go out to the PGA Tour simulators, you're going to need something more. And that next thing is definitely the projector. Okay. The projector, what that's going to do is it's actually going to take the feed straight from that OptiShot and project it onto whatever it may be, a screen, a wall, whatever. Now, projectors have also come down dramatically in price over the years, so there's a number of good ones. I'm not going to get through all the specs right here because I'd rather just link to them. We picked out a couple that we liked. Price ranges anywhere from $350 to $500. So now, you know, running our tab so far, we're right in that range of $850 to $1,000 total spend, and we've got the bulk of the expense. Now, Mike, one thing that I would definitely warn people against, because it can be tempting, If you jump on Amazon, you search for a projector, you go down to Staples or wherever they sell them, you're going to see a lot that are very inexpensive. You're going to see these new mini ones. You're going to see projectors for $100 or less. One thing to be very careful of, you got to look for lumens, okay? The brightness of the projector. And the reason I say that is because those projectors, they don't have a very bright light. I'm going to tell you right now, because I've shopped these before for work and things like that, 99% of the cost of that projector is the bulb, okay? So it needs a bright bulb in order to project the image, and especially if it's in any room with light. Now, unless you want to swing a golf club in the dark, which nobody does, you're going to need a pretty darn good projector. So if there's going to be an area where you're going to spend a little bit more, spend it on this, because you'll see what I mean with those little ones. As soon as you have any light on in the room, the garage, wherever, you're not going to see the screen, and it's just going to frustrate you. So make sure you get that. Mike, so that's pretty straightforward so far. I mean, you've got your projector, you've got your OptiShot, you're pretty set to go, right?
Yeah, this is getting very tempting for me, Frank.
Right? I know. I'm spending the money in my head as I go.
I know, exactly. I'm thinking about places where I'm going to put this. This is great.
Oh, absolutely. And then, you know, if you got this going, your place is going to be the spot to hang out. Everybody's going to come over.
Absolutely. You know? For sure.
All right. So the next thing, you're going to need some sort of screen or and or net combination. So I'm not going to get into too much into this because we go into detail in the article and I will link to that. But there's a couple things just very basic that you can do. You can, if you're in the garage, you can very simply just project the image onto a wall and then just use a pop-up net in front of it to catch the ball. Again, you're going to have to think about what type of ball you're going to use. If you're just using little foam balls, simple, you can get a really cheap net. Otherwise, if you're using the real ones, you want to protect your stuff, you know, you're going to need a better one. There are some that even automatically return. Mike, we've reviewed extensively the RuckNet. Mm-hmm. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, the RuckNet. And do you think that would actually work?
I think it would. I think it would. I mean, it's smaller because it's a pop-up. That's the convenience of it. But I think if you put that in front of a screen, it's going to at least stop it. And you're going to be able to see through it enough. I know that was the one that you personally tested, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a great net. Great for outdoors. But, that might actually work.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you could see through, because the screen, like you said, will be behind it.
Yes. The screen will be behind it so that you can actually see what the image you're projecting in your ball flight.
Got it.
One thing that I've seen people do, it's actually kind of a cool like workaround, like kind of way to hack it, is that you can use, just go down to Home Depot or somewhere like that and buy a very heavy duty tarp. And tarps usually come in different colors. You may have to replace it from time to time if you're hitting a lot of golf balls into it. But if you do go that route, like we talked about with the framing out your simulator, I've seen guys do that before where they'll actually use the frame and they'll stretch the tarp around it and they'll be able to use that to both catch the ball and act as a screen. Some guys have even used a white shower curtain, you know, but again, with a white shower curtain, you gotta remember you're using the foam balls. But if you're using a real golf ball, if you get a heavy enough one, even a canvas tarp, you can hit into that. You don't need necessarily the net. It acts as both, because when you get to the real simulator, that's what you're going to see. They're going to have that heavy duty thing that catches the ball. So that's going to be important, your screen and your net. And now if you're wise about that and you shop it out, your price is going to be somewhere, I'd say on the high end, up to about $200. There's some really great nets that you can purchase for that price. Otherwise, if it's something like a tarp and you can make it happen with your own frame, especially here, if you're handy with some power tools and can frame something out yourself, you're going to save some serious money. But you can get a tarp like that for cheap, maybe $25-$50. Breaking that down real quick, and there's one more thing too. I think I just jumped past it, is a golf mat. The OptiShot does come with a small little hitting surface, but it's very small and it does move around. That's one complaint that people have. So what I've seen a lot of people do is they buy like a 3x5 golf mat and then they just cut out a hole and drop the OptiShot right in. And then that way everything's at the same level. It doesn't move around and it has that more, you know, simulator feel. And you can get a 3x5 golf mat, and we'll link to one on Amazon for about $70. We just poked around on Amazon. We found one that was highly rated and it looks good, and that'll definitely do the trick. So let's just break that down real quick, Mike. We got the OptiShot for $500, projector at about $350, golf mat $70, and then you have your net or your screen combo, however you want to do that. That's about $200. So grand total, $1,200.
And do you need a special type of computer? Are you, can you just bring your laptop into the garage with you? Or does you, do you think you need like a desktop there that's stable all the time?
No, I've seen a lot of guys do it with the laptop. They sometimes they put them on a platform or whatever. Again, like I said, you might want to check out on OptiShot's website. They do have the minimum requirements for the computer, but like I said, they're really basic. If you bought a computer in the last 5 years, it's going to be totally usable. Mm-hmm. And again, if you really want to go cheap, maybe just start with the OptiShot and then build your simulator up from there. You can run this, you know, just an OptiShot in your for $500 in the computer you have, and that's it. You just look at the ball flight on the computer. I think after a while, you're going to say, I want to, you're going to tweak this a little bit, and that's when you might go up. But that's, I mean, that's pretty much it. Now, for $1,200, you still got some room to work with if you're in that $2,000 price range. And there's a couple things that I would suggest. I've seen guys purchase things like the Swing Smart or the Swing Tip. Both of which are Bluetooth devices that attach to the golf club, and then it displays your entire swing analytics, swing path, everything. We reviewed the Swing Tip extensively. I want to get my hands on the Swing Smart, try that as well. Mm-hmm. But I've seen guys create some really cool home simulators by, in addition to the whole setup we talked about, they put the Swing Smart on their club. They put their iPad there. And they're seeing all that advanced statistics of their swing. So not only are they seeing the ball flight, they're getting that, you're getting everything else. So it's like a super high tech setup. And the Swing Smart, I think, goes for about $500-$600. And the Swing Tip is less than 100. Mm. So you're still under $2,000. You really can't beat that.
Yeah, this is, you're getting me so excited right now. I'm going to be measuring very soon.
Yeah, it's mouth watering. So it's like a golfer's dream.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much it. Other than that, don't forget to be creative. There's so many things you can do and make it fun. You know, like I said, we've seen people use $10 white shower curtains as a starter and then work their way up. Like maybe next year they frame the thing out, whatever it may be. So there's so many different ways you can be creative. But if you have done this before, we want to hear about it. So definitely leave us your comments on the show notes at golficity.com/episode65 or tweet us at golficity. We want to hear about it. If you built one, what'd you do? Maybe shoot us a picture. I definitely want to see that because that's the really fun part about this is it gives you an opportunity to be creative. So fun stuff. And Mike, I know either you or I, one of us is going to definitely do this before next season, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, because like you said, I mean, I spent an arm and a leg going to the simulator. So why not do this once and be done with it?
I guarantee you and I have spent at least this much in the simulator over the past 3 years.
Absolutely.
So why not? Like I said, and then you just, it's all you want. You're not, what's that one thing that we all hate with the simulator when the clock runs out?
You're on
you're on the 17th.
Exactly. You're playing Sawgrass and we're on 15. We're like, let's just skip the 17 and get it over with. Right. Yep.
Yeah. So it's like with this, you don't have to worry about that. You can keep playing everything like that. So that's pretty much everything we have for that. Mike, are you ready? Because now we're going to jump into the lightning round.
Let's do it, man. I'm ready.
Last week, you put me on the spot. This time I'm going to put you on the spot. So let's do it. As we talked about last episode, Mike does not know the questions. We're going to just rapid fire here and just get a little bit of an idea. And this is a great way for you guys and us to learn a little bit more about us on the show. So this is a great way to do that. So Mike, we're going to jump right into it. And if anybody who's following along on Periscope, unfortunately, you won't be able to hear Mike's response. So make sure you tune in on iTunes and on YouTube and everywhere else we publish the show. So Mike, real quick, first question. Sure. Have you ever blown off an important event to play golf? And if so, what was it? And if whoever you blew off is listening, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. That's a good one. I've blown off meetings before for golf. And, you know, it wasn't good. You know, it actually, but you know what? There was one particular time where we actually just ditched the day. You know, I had a whole series of meetings. We ditched a day and we went out and we played 18 holes and spent the rest of the day at the golf course and felt really bad about it the next day because it backed me way up. So it's something that, believe me, I'm not blowing off anything in the near future.
Yeah. You feel really bad unless you play well.
Unless I play well. And if it's a horrible day out there, there's just a double whammy. So.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That nothing worse than that. You blow off like a big meeting and then you also play terrible and you're like, lose-lose.
Right. And I'm sure we're all guilty of this too. So
absolutely. Everyone is. All right. So second question. What is the one club in your bag, not your putter, other than your putter, that you simply can't live without? You have to have it. There's no way. Even if I paid you to take it out of your bag, you couldn't do it.
That would be the 22 degree three hybrid that I have.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I use that off the tee, and then I use it again on the next shot. And then I try to use it on the green. No, you know that. That's my club off the tee. That's my 240 club down the middle almost 90% of the time. The most reliable. I have the most confidence in it. I wish I had that same confidence in my driver, but I'll get there.
Yeah, you'll get there. You know what? Everybody has that one club that they just can rely on. It's just a great feel. It's just as comfortable as anything else. You just go up there and hit it. I remember hearing recently Rory talking about, I think it was his 6-iron. He's just like, this is it, you know, and everybody's got that one club, and that's a good thing to have. The idea is just to break out of your comfort zone once in a while and hit the other ones as well. So now let's flip the coin, you know, on the other side of that. Is there a club in your bag that you could totally live without?
The driver. You set me up for that. Yeah, I could go a whole round like I usually do without taking it out of the bag.
Yep. And it proves one thing. Like, look, people spend so much time working on their driver, and you're saying you don't even necessarily need it. So that's an important one. Okay, so next question. Mm-hmm. What is the one piece of advice you would give someone who is setting out to play their first ever round of golf?
Wow.
Like, you only give him one piece, like, just like you're passing a guy in the clubhouse. He's on his way out. He goes, he sees you. You're like, he knows you're always at the course. He says, I'm about to tee you off in 5 minutes here. My buddies are dragging me out here. I've never played, but you look like you know what you're doing. I heard you on the podcast, whatever it may be.
Right.
What's just one piece of advice you can give me?
I would just tell him to swing slow and easy. I would just tell everybody I see, you know, my mother texted me today that she took her first golf lesson. And I said, just when you go there, just make sure you just swing slow and easy. Don't be like me and try to kill it every time I go up there.
Right.
Because all these PGA Tour guys I see on TV, I mean, even when they drive the ball, Frank, it looks like they're hitting the ball so slow. But you and I know it's 120 mile per hour.
Right.
And it's just, that's something that I need to work on. And that's what I'm going to focus on this year. And that's what I would tell everybody to do.
And the reason I love that advice is because you can't, it's so tempting when you, especially if you're a new golfer and you see like your buddies driving the ball 250 yards and you just want to take a whack at it. But the reality is you can always speed up later, you know, get the fundamentals first. It's a lot easier to get that muscle movement and to really, you know, create it in your muscle memory if you just slow it down a little bit. So yeah, if you're a brand new golfer, if you're listening to this, if you're first time, you're just trying to get your feet wet with the game, try that. You know, swing slow. You don't need to be a hero out there. Trust me. Put in the middle of the fairway. Mike and I said we've been beat plenty of times before by people who hit it no further than 150 yards, but they never miss their target, you know? So there's a lot to be said for that.
Absolutely. Frank, take just real quick, Ryan Moore, if you ever get a chance to see him swing, it looks like he's swinging in slow motion off the tee.
Yeah. Yeah,
but it's not. So,
and I guarantee you, swinging a lot faster as far as club head speed goes than sure. both of us. Freddie Couples was big with that.
Right.
You know, it's a huge thing. All right, Mike. Last question. You do a lot of business on the golf course, okay? And you know, in your day job with this, everything. Can you give our listeners one of your most successful course sales or networking tips? So when you're on the course, what's a great tip for people who might be, maybe it's their first time, like their boss is inviting them out, or they have like a client, they're taking a client out. I know you work a lot with clients out there. What's one thing they can do to kind of get the edge and impress the client a little bit?
I think the best thing, Frank, that's worked for me, I've had a lot of success on the golf course, both entertaining clients and meeting new prospective clients who have become clients. So, you know, when I'm playing with clients and entertaining, I simply don't talk business at all. It's all about being friendly. And, you know, because when you're out there, everybody's focusing on their game. They don't want to hear anything, believe me, anything at all. You kind of save that for the clubhouse, the beer at the bar. If there's a holdup, you know, I would even keep it off the course. And that goes for both ways, a prospect or a client or however you're doing it. But I've had so much success out there. And it's just the more friendly it is, the more they like you and they feel like they deserve to reward you back for it.
Yeah, you know what? And that's such a great piece of advice, because if anyone's been on the other side of it and someone's taken you out as a client, the last thing you want is to get that feeling like this guy just brought me out here because I'm a captive audience for 4 hours and he's talking my ear off the whole time. Mm-hmm. So that's a great tip. And we've talked about before, one of our episodes, we talked about doing business on the course and we went into detail on that. So if you want to find out a little bit more, check that out. Otherwise, Mike is kind of our, you know, our pro at this. So, you know, by all means, you know, email your questions, podcast@golfissy.com. You know, I'm sure Mike will be happy to jump in there and help you guys out, right?
Absolutely. And you know, Frank, I've been on both sides of the coin because I'm constantly being entertained on the course too. Yep. So I get to see it from both sides.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's wrap things up. Remember, like I said, everything we have here, everything we talked about, there's a lot that we covered. So if you're driving or whatever you're listening, you can check that out. Go all the links and the articles and the breakdown, the cost breakdown for the building your own golf simulator. I'll have all that in the show notes. You can get to that by going to golfissy.com/episode65. Mike, before we wrap up the show, let's talk really quick about how you can win the 3-Up golf balls. We gave a bunch away last week. We're going to give some more away this week until our supply runs out. And Rob has kept us nicely stocked. So we appreciate that from Rob at 3-Up. So what you're going to do is very simple. Just leave a review on iTunes. Again, unfortunately, you're going to have to be in the U.S. because we don't see the reviews outside the U.S. Just the way iTunes works for some reason. And leave a review. The first 3 people to leave a review after this podcast goes live on iTunes will receive a free sample pack of the 3-Up golf balls. Now, one thing I need to say here is very important. After you leave your review, you do need to email us at podcast@golfissy.com to let us know which review was yours. Apple does not share your information with us, so we don't know. We won't know your address. We won't know how to send it to you. We do need that. So, and if you left reviews in the past, make sure you still contact us. Let us know because you may still be eligible. Email us podcast@golfissy.com. Let us know which review was yours. We'll ask you for your address and we'll send you your prize. So that's a way that you can try the 3-Up golf balls. I'm sure once you try them, you're going to love them as much as we did. And want to thank our sponsor, 3-Up Golf, again for that. So Mike, that's everything I have. Anything else on your end?
No, Frank. When are you playing?
I'm playing tomorrow. I can't believe I'm beating you out there.
Yes, you are.
That's weather permitting, but I do have a tee time at 9:30 tomorrow morning.
Good for you, man. You're living the dream.
I'm living the dream, but it's going to be like World War II out there because they just aerated the greens. So they're like
you'll be able to swing off grass instead of mats. So I'm jealous.
That's all that matters. Right? Yes. That's all that matters. It's supposed to be at some point tomorrow. It's supposed to be 70 degrees. I mean, I'm sure when I tee off, it'll still be 48, like it's been in the morning every other day. But
trust me, we take that. After that winter, we'll take it.
Absolutely. I'm out there and I can't wait. So let's kick this season off and let's really make some progress this year.
Definitely.
All right. So that's everything we have. Remember to check us out on the web at golfissy.com. You can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, anywhere you like to listen to podcasts. You can watch the show on YouTube, I should say. And now if you're on Periscope, follow us at Golfissy because periodically we'll be broadcasting segments of the show live on there. You can interact with us. It's a great way you can ask questions. Mike and I can jump in and just kind of answer those questions wherever we can. So check us out on there. Check us out on the web. And we'll be back again next week with more. See you then.